is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
This is only a test.
DJ's in MC. This DJ, he gets it out.
Listen to the disc jockey's introduction to
Two DJs in a Mic with your host, DJ Mike.
Is that a timetable?
And DJ JP.
Well, get on it. It's your turn.
Give me the mic.
Okay, guys, thank you again for joining us for another episode of Two DJs, One Mic with the infamous JP and myself.
How are you doing, Michael?
The shy and the nice one, DJ Mike.
Really?
And we're blessed to be here with the great Wendy Kidd.
Thank you for joining us, man. Thank you for joining us.
How you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Oh, it's an honor. It's an honor. We don't get to talk to planners too often, but when we do, we really enjoy it because you guys really give a different perspective on a lot of things.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you're like our encyclopedias.
Yes.
So,
you know, I was just telling somebody that I feel like most of my job is answering questions. So I think a walking encyclopedia works hand in hand with that.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It's a beautiful thing. So how are you doing today before we jump into this interview?
I am doing excellent. I'm enjoying a no rain day. That's fantastic right now.
No rain day.
Really?
Yeah.
It has been. Yeah. Man, the sky has really been just pouring out on us. You know,
true.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm close to downtown and we have the Trinity, you know, right by us. You know, I can go right over the bridge going into downtown and it's, you know, it's pretty high.
Yeah.
You know, it's all of the other little spots that's normally dry, it's high.
Yeah, it's not dry.
No, it's wet.
Well, yeah. Before we get the show started, we have to thank our sponsor, 2DJs and One Mic. Is our platinum sponsor is Curator Live, the number one photo booth software company in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Easy setup, share options, print and cloud storage. Reach Curator Live at info@curatorlive.com, or you can reach them by phone at 800-708-0247. So tell James and Amy that JP and Mike sent them your way. So thank you for our platinum sponsor, and also big shout out to EV Speakers, Microphones, and NLFX, who are our other sponsors.
Yes, thank you,
and thank you.
Yes. So with that being said, young Jeffrey.
Let's get it.
Yes. So what made you want to be a wedding planner? How did you get here?
That is a good question. So I started looking at being a wedding planner after going through my own wedding, of course. The reason I looked at it was because I had it in my head I was never going to get married. I was that independent girl and met my husband in college, and it was a deal breaker. We had to get married. So I planned a wedding never having had that vision and white dream as a girl. I had never looked at weddings and thought about them and had a Pinterest board. Of course, I didn't have Pinterest back then, but you know, I didn't have any of that. So when I went through wedding planning, I was just like, this is ridiculous. This is too hard. I don't understand it, you know? And then of course, you know, you watch all your other friends go through it when you're in college. And I was just like, no, there's gotta be a better way to do this. Cause I am a process and systems girl. And so I kind of studied and watched and observed, and I went, you know what? I think I could do this. And I took a wedding planning course here in DFW. And at the same time, I ended up getting hired by a venue that I also started my business. And the reason I got hired by the venue is because I called them with my first client to ask them if they had availability for this wedding. And I ended up turning them down on the call, and they ended up calling me back and offering me a job just because they liked how I handled things on the phone. And I had to be real. I had to be like, look, I've never done this before, you know, give me a minute. And they're like, hey, we can train you. You just come in and we just like your personality. And so that's kind of how I got my start in the industry, is venue and wedding planning at the same time.
Wow. Wow.
So do you think working at a venue helped you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I highly recommend it as a job in the industry to kind of see it from all sides. Because as the venue person, when you're working an event, you get to see what everybody else does. And you get to see how they work together or not work together and figure out how to make that easier on the couple.
How did it help you the most?
You know, I honestly feel like it gave me the biggest boost because I got to know the vendors as the venue coordinator first. And we got to know and work together and trust each other so that when I branched out and did this full time, I already had that team in place that I could work with for my couples.
I like that. Yep. All right, Miguel, your turn.
Okay. So what are some of the current trends you're seeing in the wedding entertainment? And how do you incorporate a DJ into these trends?
Oh, I think my favorite right now is the live entertainment that we're interweaving with the DJ, you know, bringing in the saxophone during dinner hour or cocktail hour, bringing in some kind of little bit of live version that works well with you guys so that they get that live entertainment feel and that vibe, but that we have the true professional that you guys are to kind of direct the flow of the event. I love that. I love that combo.
So how are some of your clients responding to it?
Oh, they love it. They love it. We just had a wedding on Saturday that had the string quartet play for cocktail hour. But of course, we had the DJ managing all the announcements and directing guests. Then we had saxophone playing as people walked in to the dinner hour. And then, of course, DJ walked us through all the introductions, announcements, first dance. Of course, we had to have Dancing on a Cloud for the first dance, and then it was DJ hardcore the rest of the way. Party.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So are there any other trends, colors? Do you try to get the DJs to have a certain color DJ booth, or you can get them from Facade or different companies that do like the blue, the white, do you do a lot of that? Is that one of the trends that's trendy right now?
Absolutely. I'm definitely seeing the DJs dressing up their booth and working with us on decor and theming it out. I love getting my DJ up on a riser and having them kind of be the star of the show a little bit. I love the facades that we can put in, but I've also seen the more modular DJ stands with just the mixing table on top and a ton of like glow tubes or other lighting effects around you guys.
Oh, okay. So what do you think about the other new trend with the video booths that everybody's putting a TV in the front of their booth now?
You know, I hesitate on those sometimes because sometimes you don't know what's going on in those booths. But they're fun. It pretty much what I think is trending right now is interactive. You know, anything that can be interactive. Our couples right now really want to create an interactive and engaging experience. They no longer want just a simple dinner and dancing event. So anything that can get the guests to interact together, they're going to go for it.
Write that down, Mike. Interactive. That's I haven't heard that, but that's a good one. It's a good selling point. I like that.
Well, the good thing about video, we can always play back.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's really good. Yeah. Yes. So interactive is one of the big trends, and saxophonists and violinists. What do you like the most, drummer, saxophonist, or violinist?
Oh, I'm a band nerd, so I'm going to go for the sax every time.
Okay. All right,
were you in a band in school?
I was. I was in band since junior high school, and college and community band.
So what did you play?
Flute and piccolo.
Oh, I did not know that.
The last couple of guests have all played the flute. Yeah.
Why did not know that?
That's pretty cool.
It's nothing like that flute section.
Yeah, they're out of control.
There's a lot of us.
Yeah.
So, next question. How do you typically collaborate with DJs to ensure a seamless and successful wedding event? What do you do with your DJs?
I love to collaborate with my DJs. The way I do that is once the couple has chosen their DJ, we like to go ahead and set a meeting pretty early on just to talk about the different flow possibilities, as well as the different options that the DJ's heard of. Because a lot of times you guys hear about trends before I do, because you're following all the other DJs around the nation. So I want to get your feedback on what we can possibly do that's different and fun and unique. And what are we seeing that couples don't want to do anymore? You know, like the bouquet and garter toss are going by the side. So let's get rid of that. Let's bring in something else that's more fun or more meaningful for the couple.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of people are not doing the garter belt because, you know, it can get a little rough.
Oh yeah. I've seen some linebacker action.
I've seen some moments where dad wanted to pull him out of there. Yeah.
Oh, well, you're talking about the pulling off the guard. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about the bouquet. I've seen some
Deion Sanders come make some interceptions too.
Yeah.
Or somebody end up getting tackled.
I'm like, you know, is it a boy or a girl? What are you doing?
True.
Yeah, so that's cool. So that's good. Yeah, and it's always great to work with a planner that just
a season.
Either way, just not overbearing and let you do and just guide you along. You know what I mean? Don't come in. Well, it's their show and we try to go along, but don't just be, you know.
Well, let me ask you this.
But here's the thing. It's not our show. It's a team show.
Yeah, right? It is.
That's how I look at it. Is while I have to look and I have to know what everybody does, I can't do what you do. So I need to give you the space and give you the room to take the lead in some of this stuff so that I can be the backup for you. I think my favorite metaphor for how a DJ and I work together at a wedding is the Wizard of Oz. You're the guy in front of the curtain. I'm the guy behind the curtain.
Okay, I like that.
That's nice. And we don't hear that often.
Very often.
Maybe not at all. You know,
and that's sad.
Yeah.
Well, I see your point, and I think it's a great point, but it's just you don't hear that often. Sometimes you're in situations where it's like going on a job and you got a new supervisor, and that supervisor has to put their stamp on everything instead of seeing that the situation is fluent and it works fine. No, I got to change it. And sometimes we deal with those type of situations and it makes it really hard to do your job. And
absolutely.
Then it even makes it harder if that person is really not doing what they're supposed to do and you feel like you're doing their part.
Of course, because if you don't have a good planner, it falls on you guys in the photographer every time.
Preach, brother, preach.
Yeah, we got a question.
Love it.
It said, how do you deal with your preferred vendors versus when the DJ offers multiple things? Good question, Seth.
Good question, Seth. I love it. it's a dangerous question too, honestly, right? Here's the thing. I feel like some of the companies in the industry that we're in do a lot of things, right? They offer photography, videography, DJ, photo booths, all of these things. I'm okay with it as long as you have the staff to back it up and the talent to back it up.
Yes.
If you are one person trying to do four jobs, it's not going to go well.
I like that staffing and the talent. The key word in that whole statement was talent.
Talent and staffing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can have staffing, but if they don't have the talent.
Well, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So you need a small combination thereof.
Yes. Yeah. Totally agree. Thank you for that question, Seth.
If y'all have any other questions for Wendy, please drop them in the chat so we can get them on.
So moving right along, what do couples usually look for in a wedding DJ and how do you help them to articulate their preferences?
Well, that's a tough one because that has absolutely changed based on generations.
It changes
based on whether it's the parents doing the shopping or the couple doing the shopping. You know, I've had the scenario where it was mom and dad's party and they didn't really care what the couple cared to hear. And I've had the opposite. And then I've had people who want all generations be taken care of. And I find that, you know, it's again, that whole social media game, right? Where if it's, what's the latest and greatest app that they're looking at? Right now it's Instagram, but it's also TikTok. And they're hearing on TikTok advice from DJs, whether it be good or bad, they're hearing advice on how to find the DJs. So it can be a struggle sometimes for me to know how, what's important to the couple and to get them to articulate it. And the best way I can get them to do that is to send me examples of what they like, honestly and truly, is just to say, hey, have you been looking? If you have been looking, send me those TikTok videos. Send me those Instagram reels. I want to see what you're seeing and talk about it so I can figure out what did you like out of that video? Did you like the DJ or did you like the lighting? You know, did you like the DJ? Did you like the music? Mm-hmm. Like, I have to kind of pick those elements out and then I can send to the DJs that I work with and love, hey, this is what they're looking for. Do you feel like you're a good fit?
Okay. Let me ask you this. When you're in those situations where, say, the parents are paying for everything and they want to kind of dictate what is and what ain't, how do you deal with the bride and groom when they're asking you, you know, when you're between that rock and that hard spot, how do you deal with that situation?
I actually set that boundary when they first hire me. Okay. I am very clear. My contract only has one signer and one boss. And I ask them point blank at the beginning, who is going to sign my contract? Because they're going to be the boss that wins all arguments. I'm happy to talk to everybody, but I'm going to be doing what this person says. And that includes at the wedding itself. So it helps direct the conversations through the rest of the process. So I don't kind of have to have that. Now, do I enjoy it when the parents are dictating and it's against the couple's wishes? No, I don't enjoy it. But that's what I got paid to do, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that is a hard one to be in between. But I love what you said as far as setting the expectations in the beginning, because that's very important. Because once you do that, it does kind of open up the door for the needed conversations, you know, that you need to have. And it sets off alarms in, you know, other people's heads, you know, for far as the bride, like, no, mommy, you're not going to mess up my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Or, mm-hmm. you know, or what have you, you know, it creates conversation.
Yeah.
It creates conversation and it allows them to also kind of back off of me, honestly, because they realize that they're not going to win the argument. So it doesn't become an argument. Mm-hmm. At least not when I'm in the room, but maybe at home. Yeah. But I get the email after the argument that says, here's who won.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, Self had another banger and he wanted to know, I don't want a wedding DJ. I want a club DJ. So how do you handle that with your client, with your bride?
A lot of my couples that want a club DJ, they're the ones who've really already been searching, or they've experienced someone when they were out at the club that they loved and they met them that way. So a lot of times I don't have to look for that because they've already found them for me and they're saying, this is the person we really want. It's very important to us. Because usually the ones that are asking for a club DJ, they're hardcore about it. It's not just a trend that they heard about. They've experienced that and they know what they want and they usually know who they want.
Wow. Okay. Yep. Well, and I tell people that, well, I did 20 years in the club, so I can do either. But what I'm saying, if you can DJ, you should be able to take them there anyway, no matter, you know, I don't know. Do you think there's a real difference in club DJs and wedding DJs, Mike? I mean, a little bit, but I'm saying if you can really DJ, you can do both.
Well,
no,
that's a loaded question because, and why I say it's a loaded question, because that's based on the individual. I can really DJ, but that doesn't mean that you can't really DJ to any situation. So me personally, I do think it's a difference between club and wedding DJs.
There is a difference.
But you have some DJs that can like waters that swim in fish that swim in
fresh water and salt water.
You have some that can coexist in both. So it is a difference. Yeah. And I would say when I got into the industry and I started doing weddings, it was a learning curve for me right away. It was like, whoa, because, you know, you come from just doing parties and house parties and bars and so forth. Your whole outlook on how you present your music is totally different.
Yeah.
And you may be one that you've been in these adult clubs where all of your music is explicit lyrics. And now you come in this setting, you got kids, you got grandparents, great grandparents, you got, you know, friends from different nationalities. You just got this big mixing pot of ages and different nationalities, and you have to play to them.
Yeah.
But the only music you have is 80s rock.
Yeah. And Chris is very correct on this. Yes, formalities. Club DJs, if they don't know the formalities, that can be a conflict.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Yes, and thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Our Boston friend.
Yes. He said, yes, Mike is right. A lot of work just showing up.
Yeah. You can't just show up. You got to learn how to do it. So you need to, if you're coming over to this side, make sure you go shadow somebody and learn how to do it before you just jump into it.
And I, you know, the good thing for me, I was blessed to come in contact with a great wedding planner. And when she found me, she booked me for about between 4 to 6 weddings. And that one setting, she set me up in. And she taught me everything that she knew. And she was a great planner. Yeah. And I learned everything that I could from her. So
all right.
It was good.
Yeah. All right. How involved are you in helping couples choose their music playlist? And what tips do you have for selecting songs that keep guests engaged? Do you get all into that?
Nope. I mean, really? I absolutely will tell them what I've heard before, but that's y'all's area. That's where you're
okay,
all
right. Well,
so well, I'm going to send them to you.
We're just asking questions.
Wow. I really respect your outlook on this. And you just seen, you know what? I am not going to get involved with something that I don't specialize in. If we hired a DJ, let the DJ be the DJ. If I have to be the DJ.
You should be hiring it for.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
and it seems like going back to your very first encounter with the wedding industry, you planned your own wedding.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was a good answer.
It was very DIY, y'all. I'll tell you that. It was very DIY.
Oh, my goodness.
We got another question. The planner is in charge of the space, people, and organization. The DJ is in charge of the music, timeline, and energy. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree with the timeline because, like I said, I'm that person behind the curtain who's making it all come together. And the DJ has to be in front of the curtain. He shouldn't be back in the kitchen. Make sure the buffet's ready.
I like that.
Right?
I'm not going back there. I ain't got time to be in the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, Seth, absolutely. Do I want you in charge of flow? For sure. But I need you to check with me before you send people to that buffet because there could be no food on that table.
There you go. We have a good one. You know Jody, right?
Yeah.
She says she wants to create normalization. You know, we need a 5-minute warning for everything. Normalize that. Normalize communicating with the planner before the wedding. Normalize communicating with the photographer. Everybody needs to communicate. She said that's something we need to get in this industry and not just show up, don't know nobody. I mean, I know we all busy and got stuff going on, but just getting to know who you're going to work with so you don't walk in
and
you don't know each other. So it's a smoother, easier, you know, and then, you know, it sounds like you have a team that you like to work with anyway, though, certain people that you like to work with.
I mean, I have people that I love to work with, of course, because I've worked with them for years and years and years. But I find that there's an ebb and flow to this industry and people have good years and bad years and they don't want to take on more this year or they want to take on more this year. So I have to be flexible and I need to know who the up and coming team is. You know, I've been doing this for 19 years, y'all. There's changes in staff. There's changes in talent. There's changes in trends. So you got to be flexible.
Because a lot of people get comfortable when you use them all the time, keep getting them paid, get them nice gigs. They get comfortable and they don't expand. They don't, I don't want to play with no saxophone player. I don't want to do this. I do cocktail hour. Why I want to DJ with him? So you're right. You got to be able to grow and change with the trends, embrace technology, do everything that's going to, you know, make you a better DJ or, you know, make your presentation even that more better. I mean, better, more better.
Yeah. Well.
But okay. I digress. More better.
Okay, sir.
Can I say one other thing that we need to normalize? When you show up at an event, introduce yourself. There is nothing that takes me off more than anything is a vendor who walks in and the first thing they say to me is, "Where can I put my stuff?" Cool. I'm glad you're here for the gig. But let's make this all about you. Got it. Thanks.
Wow.
I'm the wedding planner.
We're all about DJs. First thing you do, if you don't have a plan to find the bride or whoever's in charge, the venue owner, whoever, hey, I want to introduce myself, or you know, whatever, and make sure you find a planner and introduce yourself. Don't go in there and just, you know, like and make sure, because something could have changed. You might have wanted them to have set up in a different area or anything. So communication. Hey, how you doing? My name is Joe Blow and I'm going to be the DJ, you know, so yeah, communication is key. And remember that, y'all, normalize when you walk in, speak to not everybody, you know, in the room. Don't just walk in and start throwing down speakers and gear and stuff. Yeah.
Just introduce yourself and be part of the team. Be willing to be part of the team.
Yes. And Chris said, yes, introductions should be done with everyone within the wedding. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
There should be no strangers. Should be no stranger danger.
Agreed.
Stranger danger.
Should be none. Yes. Yeah, so next question. Let me get there. Young Jeffrey.
Okay.
So what advice would you give to DJs looking to build stronger relationships with wedding planners? And how do you think that could increase their booking?
I love when a DJ emails me and introduces himself. I love when he has a website that actually has information on it. I'm a researcher. So the first thing I'm going to do is go straight to your website and see if it's from the 80s or not. If it is, then I'm probably not even going to respond.
Roll it, take back. Say that one more time, because people don't believe. Now, you're not a bride, but you're a planner. Yeah. So if a bride tells you, okay, we hired Mike, you're going to research Mike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. First thing I'm going to do is pop your name in /wedding and see what pops up. I'm going to check your reviews. I'm going to check your profiles. I'm going to check your website. I want to know if you have your game or not. If you have not, you're going to make me look like crap. And I don't want that. No, you can lose me. It's FaceTime something with hand gestures and I'm horrible with them. They just pop up.
All right.
Fireworks. Did you see the fireworks?
She looked like my shirt.
Fireworks. I got all excited and I just imploded. I don't know what to say.
You're back.
Yeah, no. I mean, absolutely. Give me a good first impression, because if I don't get a good first impression off you, I'm not going to recommend you, because when my clients look you up, they're not going to get a good first impression. And I'm going to have to explain why I recommended you. So give me a good first impression. Tell me what you do. Don't just say I'm a DJ. Well, where do you work? What kind of clients do you work with? What's different about you? What should I know about you? And let's talk. Offer to chat. You know, let's do a Zoom call. Are you going to be at the next networking meeting? I'd love to shake your hand. Something like that, so I can get to know you and understand why you're different.
So if you research a DJ and there's no Instagram, no Facebook, no website, so what do you do? What do you think then?
What is your plan of actions after that? What do you do?
My first thought's you're a newbie. Mm. Yeah. Okay. And I'm just going to ask you flat out, how long you been doing this? Mm. And I'm going to know if you lie to me. It's going to be pretty obvious. You know, a lot of new DJs get on my radar because the first thing they do is actually email me asking for advice. And I love that vulnerable position that they just put themselves into, because they're telling me they're willing to listen. And that means they're willing to collaborate, right? And you just heard me talk about how much I love to collaborate. So I'll go off. I'll be like, hey, here's all the information I could possibly send to you. Let me know if you have any more questions. And go from there. You know, just start a dialogue about whatever you can have one with me about.
Okay.
We have a good question from Seth. He said, how do you deal with, I have a website, but all my videos, samples, and information are on social media based?
That's great. That's where the couples are going to go look for it anyways.
Okay.
Great. So you said something about going and look at a profile or a website, and if they have an 80s website, what does that mean to you? I want you to define that.
Okay. So here's the thing. I was in IT before I was a wedding planner. So I'm a computer geek. Okay. My husband is a computer geek. He's actually a computer engineer. So I know what an 80s website looks like. If your website looks like, you know, MySpace.com, which probably most people don't even know what that looks like anymore, I know what decade you're from. If you've got cartoon graphics all over it, probably from the 80s. Comic Sans is the font from the 80s. You know, if you've got a copyright date at the bottom that says at 2000, yeah, you know.
God, that's hard to think. That's 24 years old now.
I know. We're old.
Crazy. Oh my goodness.
We're not old. We're seasoned. Mike had the better word. We're seasoned.
Yeah, that's seasoned. You. Wow, man.
So digging a little deeper, if you discover a relic website, how do you view that business or that individual business-wise?
Well, how do I put this? Y'all don't know me well enough to know that I always keep it real. So clip art. Yes, Seth. Thank you. thank you very much for that. I needed that phrase. So here's the thing. One of my staff members actually coined the phrase gmail.com vendor. And when I see an old website or I see that they have a email address that's at gmail.com or at AOL.com or at whatever,
Hotmail.
My first thought is, are they a part-timer? Are they doing this as a hobby? And then I'm going to go look and see if they have a contract. Because if they don't have a contract, I know I'm not dealing with a professional.
Wendy, I want to say that Wendy is in my head.
Yeah, Wendy is keeping it real.
When I'm dealing with clients that I build websites for, because I'm somewhat of a geek myself, I always tell them, if you are running business with a Gmail or
.com.
I said, you are telling clients that you're not real and this is just something you do.
Yep. Something you do on the side.
Yep.
Wow. And that basically, what does that tell us as professionals? That tells us to be careful. That tells us that we are going to be very tentative in our communication with you. We are going to wait and see if you are a team player or if you are somebody who only does this on the side and doesn't care what a professional does. You're somebody who says to your client, well, I don't charge an arm and a leg like she does. You know, that's the kind of stuff that just drives me up the wall, because these couples don't have the experience to know what that could lead to. And you and I know what that can lead to. That can lead to, we had a DJ who was the friend, right? The friend of the couple, and came in with these huge concert size speakers and had rigging that he just set on the top of the speakers with lights. And we were just waiting all night for that thing to fall off and hurt somebody.
With no insurance.
No insurance, and the DJ's drinking the whole time. So you know this is going to go well.
Wow.
See, I mean, you know, Wendy, I'm so glad it wasn't just the post that you made, but I didn't know that you would just come on here and keep it real and really give people the total script. I mean, you telling it like a TI is. A lot of people sugarcoat it, don't say stuff like this. And a lot of these DJs really need to hear this, where you're not, and if they don't realize, people look and research you, and the tier where a lot of people say they want to be, they're not doing the stuff to get there. And you know,
they have to remember, they're messing with my money. If they make this flat out, y'all. And I'm sorry, I just can't hold back. I am not one of those who don't know anything. I am direct as can be. If you come in and you do a bad job, it looks bad on me, regardless of whether I recommended you or not. Now I have a bad wedding. I have a client who's not happy with it. They don't want to see their pictures up anymore because now they have this horrible memory. They're not going to write nice reviews for everybody because they're so mad they're stopped talking to everybody. Right now you're messing with my money because now I can't use that wedding to get the next wedding. And nobody at that wedding is going to want to use me because they don't know that I wasn't involved in choosing you. So I'm always going to be real with you. And this is why planners have a hard time branching out and using someone new, because you're messing with your money. Now, I believe, me personally, if I'm not learning, I'm not growing. And if I'm not willing to take risks, I'm not doing my clients any favors. But not everybody's as confident as that, especially somebody newer in the industry. They're going to find the people that they work well with, and they're only going to recommend them because they don't want to mess with their money. So people have to remember that. It's not fun and games. This is our livelihood.
Yeah. And you're right. And I just want to add something to that. Is one of the things that I think we don't really look at is just in life, period. I'll just say your household. Everybody in that household, their decisions affect everybody in that household.
Yes.
You know, okay, my son chooses not to do his work in class and shows up. Okay, your decision affects me because now I have to leave my job and come up to the school and talk to someone that I shouldn't be talking to at this particular time about something that I shouldn't be talking about. So when we're at these weddings and you have all of these vendors, all of our decisions affect one another.
Yes.
If the food is bad, that could be something that detours or messes with the bride and groom.
Absolutely.
The cake was hard. You know, I've been saying, I've been there.
Every one of us can throw something into that mix. If the planner is bad, oh my gosh, everybody has a rough time, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, you've got to remember, it's a team environment. This is the kind of place that you don't get to just be the one and only. And if you do act one and only, guaranteed the rest of the team ain't going to be happy with you. And when your team ain't happy, your couple ain't happy.
Wow.
All facts.
Yeah. I mean, we've interviewed some other planners, but I mean, she has kept it realer than anybody else, and just not sugarcoating it. It's coming straight with the 411. I mean, you know, we're going back in a little bit of time there, but I mean, no, I really appreciate you just being open and totally honest and saying it like it is and not trying to swim around it and, you know, get up to it and don't take the bait and swim back, you know. But no, you keeping it real. Wow. Okay.
And I just have to say this. It's a little funny, but it's true. You know, although you don't have any hair, I've seen your hair blow off several times.
Oh, yeah. You have blown me away.
You guys just didn't know what you were signing up for.
No. I mean,
hey, we love it.
We love it. I mean,
we want the true. You know, we want it to be uncut, unfiltered, just raw.
Because
the truth is going to be the truth right now, or next week, or last year. It's going to be the truth. Give it to us.
And we feel like too many people in the industry sugarcoat stuff allow people to keep doing the same bullcrap, and nobody ever
addresses it.
And we just, okay, they're going to be better next time. They're gonna get better, or they gonna, but they don't, because we keep hiring them back and just keep putting them in that same situation. So
I have,
you know, that's something that always confuses me in this industry. Why continue to recommend people you don't want to work with?
But is it not that they want to? There's so many things we could say on that. Kickback.
There is.
You know, a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, that's my friend, and I don't want to hurt them. I know they got to pay their house note this month. You know, all kind of stuff. So it's a lot of things that could keep you.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think when we do that, we miss the main point.
Oh, yeah, we definitely do.
You were hired to create an experience for someone.
And do the job.
And you have compromised that experience because of someone else that is not equipped to do the job. And although you're trying to do it right, but you're doing it wrong at the same time.
Yeah. Well, you know, and here's the thing is if these people don't realize that they're not doing it right, and they just haven't felt that feeling, you know, when it all fires on all cylinders and we all have a blast and it is just a party and the client is amazing and we're all amazing and we just love each other and we don't want the party to end. They haven't experienced that. And if they had, they'd do a better job. You know?
Wow.
Because who doesn't want to have that experience every weekend?
Yeah. If all of us that's doing it because we like it and we've grown to love it more and more, I think that's something that we long for.
Yeah.
You know,
we long for. I always tell people this. One of the things that lyrics to a Bon Jovi song that I've been living or trying to live up to my whole life is in the song I'm a Cowboy. He said, I've seen a million people and I've rocked them all. And that's always been my idea.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, moving right along. Jeffrey?
Can you share a memorable experience where a DJ had to troubleshoot an unexpected issue during a wedding, and how was it resolved?
Yes, I can. Should I name names?
Hey, whatever you want to do.
So I've got good and bad stories for you. Which one do you want? The good or the bad?
We'll take one good and one bad. Come on.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you the good was I had a DJ who I've worked with a few times and he's a good friend of mine. And unfortunately at the ceremony, the song that played for the bride's processional was the wrong song. And she was devastated, of course. And of course nobody knew but her. But she was devastated. And the minute she came out of the ceremony, when I greeted him at the end of the aisle, she was just devastated and was like, can you believe, why did he play the wrong song? And I couldn't believe it either, right? I mean, this is a seasoned professional. What happened? And it was a technical issue. And he and I were both just, oh my gosh, we can't believe this. Well, he had a solution and he did not tell me the solution. Scared the right out of me. We were in the reception and we were ready to get going with dinner. And he stopped everything and said, I need the bride and groom to come to the floor. And he created a magical moment by telling the guests, you know, this was the song you were supposed to hear as the bride appeared in the chapel earlier. And he had them dance to that song. And it was a beautiful moment. And so many people wept. Because he just handled it so well. I get chills as I tell the story. Wow. And when he stopped and asked for the couple to the dance floor, I'm looking at my timesheet. I'm like, what is happening right now? I don't know who to cue, like what's happening. And then he just pulled it off and I was like, okay, but next time give me a heads up. But it was beautiful and they loved it. And the bride and groom adored him and had a great night because he changed that moment. Wow. By creating it as just this goosebump, lovely crying moment for everybody.
Oh, she's, wow. Getting, so, she's getting a little teary on us over there.
That was! It was so good, guys. I've never seen anything like it. I will never forget that. It was such a good moment.
And you know what's great about that? They won't forget it either.
Yeah.
No, they won't. They won't.
Because I can imagine how it made her feel.
Yeah.
That he acknowledged his mistake and he created a beautiful moment for them.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So now give us the ugly.
The ugly. Well, okay. So we all know about these DJ companies who hire people that have no idea what they're doing, right? And they just assign them to weddings and they fill up the day of. And I had a wedding a year or two ago and the poor bride had a seizure right before putting her dress on. And so we had to call an ambulance and we had to handle it. And I knew, and my staff knew from the way he rolled in and was setting up. Number one, he wasn't the guy we told was going to be there. And he very clearly doesn't have a clue as to what's going on. And once I got her off in the ambulance, I told Mom, we're going to start with cocktail hour, and then we will wait to hear from you guys as to whether she's coming back, as to whether this is going to happen or not. And so I went straight over to the DJ and I said, hey, how's it going? And started a conversation. And I said, look, I'm going to be real with you if you'll be real with me. Here's what's happening. Here's the seizure is happening. We don't know how the rest of the night's going to go. You can throw that timeline out the window. So I need somebody who can hang with me and can just make changes on the fly, make announcements on the fly, and just roll with it. Can you do that? And he looked at me like a deer in the headlights and said, I don't know. And I said, should we call your boss and get somebody here to back you up? I'm happy to make that phone call for you. And he said, I will make the call. So he gets on the phone with his boss gets on the phone with me and is like, did the dude mess up? Like, what's happening? I'm like, no, we have a tough situation. He's clearly a newbie. You need to get somebody out here to back him up. So they send somebody. Now I ended up making the first few announcements because he didn't know what he was doing. So I literally got on the microphone and made the announcement to get us rolling. Thank goodness the bride was fine. She was able to come back. We were able to have the ceremony. We were able to get through the reception. When the backup guy got there, he managed to get this guy through the night. Backup guy left an hour before the end because, of course, there was new announcements left. At the end of the night, I walked over to the guy and I said, you know, good job. I appreciate you being real with me. I appreciate you working with backup and making this night work. And he said, yeah, this was great. I've never been to one of these. I said, what do you mean? Huh? Dude had never even attended a wedding, much less DJ'd a wedding.
Oh my gosh.
I was really glad I made that call for backup.
Oh yeah, you're right. Wow. Because that could have just ruined the whole thing. It was already bad enough, but.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Before I get into this comment from Chris. So how do you feel about companies that do that?
How do you think I feel about them? they make my job much harder. And honestly, that's sometimes why I have a job, is to cover for them. Because they're the ones at the bridal shows offering the discounted deal. And the couple goes, great, I can have a $500 DJ. And they're just hitting play on them. Thing. And I'm like, nope, that's not what a DJ does. Mm. You bought yourself Spotify for $500. Good job. So, yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
We're going to have to put you on DJ quotables.
Yeah, quotables. We're going to have a lot of clips from her. Yeah. All right. So, read this right. He said, most of the time, the wedding planners don't want to talk to the DJ. As we're not paying them, bride should be the one that makes the decision. It would be nice to talk to a wedding planner prior to the event. Wow. I mean, that's the case.
But we have to ask this question because Chris is in Boston.
Yeah, and maybe it's different.
We're in Texas. So, and I know you have different planners that operate differently. I'm going to say you have some that are great. You have some that are and some that are bad. And it's the same way in our industry. We're just talking about some people that shouldn't be in situations.
Yeah.
And
same as DJs.
Oh, yes. You have some of those situations. I've worked with some great ones, and I've worked with some that the moment I left, I pushed delete.
So, and then Seth made another
comment. Well,
Can I
give Chris some advice?
Yeah, uh-huh. Please.
Because Chris, I love this comment. So here's the thing. Obviously, what you guys said about it being different everywhere, absolutely. But here's the thing. If you want to talk to a planner before the event, as a systems and process girl, you need to have a system in place. You need to ask your couple, have you hired a planner? Who are they? Give me their contact info. Connect me to your planner. Make time in your system to reach out to that planner. Don't wait for them. just go ahead and reach out to them and say, hey, I am Chris. Here's my work. Here's how amazing I am. Here's how I work. I would love to have a meeting with you. If that's not included in your packages, okay, cool. Can we set up a time just you and I to get to know each other? Put in your process the way you want it to work with planners and then expect it of them.
I like that. And, you know, I will say most planners here where we're at, they reach out and at least ask you when. That's your opportunity to have a conversation with them. Hey, what time are you going to show up? What time are you going to be there? Is there anything I can do in the timeline? And me, I'm very respectful. I don't like to step on planners' toes. So I always say, hey, and I can tell my couples if they send me her timeline, so I, you know, I can set my times to hers. I just want to make sure we musically match. I don't ever want to step on it because it's her show. I'm in front of the curtain. She's pulling the strings. And I just want
to. You have experience. You have experience that should not be discounted.
No, no, I don't.
You should be able to look at that timeline and give feedback and say, hey, I don't.
Oh, I do.
This is going to work, and here's why.
Yeah, when I see stuff that's off, I'll bring it up. Hey, I think we should change this. So why are we doing all of this right now? That's not going to work. Like if we do the toe. Yeah, I do stuff like that. But I mean, I really try to be extremely respectful of planners, and it's your baby. And I, you know, I say, hey, we might want to change this or look at this, or I'll say something to you when you come up to me to say, let's do this. But 9 times out of 10, I'll be ultra respectful because they're the ones that can get you hired and fired. They can help you and they can hurt you. We can all help and hurt you.
We should all be respectful of each other.
Yeah. I agree. All right, keep it moving. What's the next one?
Say, I will say 75% of the time, I don't talk to the wedding planner until the day of. And then he said, my online portal helps the couple build a timeline. And I always tell them if they have made a timeline with the planner, they need to send it to me so I can fill in all the music.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, great process.
Yeah, I don't know if he uses DJ Event Planner. You know, they can do a timeline and with all the songs and everything. So what I usually do is send it to them and say, hey, here's my timeline. If you want to share with the planner, the photographer, or whoever, if I don't have an email, hey, please share it with them. And then if they have one, send it back to me and I'll make mine. We'll all mesh ours together so we all on the same accord.
Well, and here's another thing that you guys can do, Chris and Seth and anybody. You can ask the planner, what were you hired for? Can I see what a copy of your package looks like? Can I understand what your services are? Because all of them are so different, right? You don't know what each planner is going to do because our packages are so different. And some of them sell it by the hour. You know, these day of coordinators, which we all know that's a myth, right? They've got to have at least one meeting before wedding day or they're just a personal assistant. But ask them what they're doing. I ask you for your contract. Why can't you ask me for mine? Why can't you say, hey, can I just understand? I have a welcome guide that I send to my vendors to say, hey, here's what they hired me for.
I have to hug your neck whenever I see you again. I'm like, you done came on here just flame throwing. Just
no, it's really
good. I mean, it's just it's so good. It's just whoop,
whoop. No, it's great information. And you are, you know, giving us information and giving us the ability to look at it in a different way.
Because how many planners do you think would be okay with us asking them for their time? I mean, for their contract, really? Maybe you? I don't know anybody.
Just ask for the list of what they do. Honestly, ask for the list of services. Ask for a copy of my contract, I'd give it to you because I don't hide. I'm as transparent as they come. I'm absolutely going to share that with you. If any of you guys listening to this want to copy my contract, call me. I'm not going to hide behind that. But my contract isn't where my list of services are. So ask me for what you're wanting, which is, hey, what did the couple hire you to do? So that I know how to work with you. That's really what it comes down to. You know, if you guys want to meet with the planner, well, first you got to know, did the couple even pay them for my time to come meet with you? Right. Yeah. And the same thing for you. I'm sure you guys include in your rates. You've got to account for that time where you meet with the couple. Right. So maybe just go ahead and start saying, hey, we highly recommend planners. Here's the list of planners we love to work with. If your planner's not on that, please let us know so we can get to know them before the wedding. And then email the planner and say, hey, I would love for you to come to my last meeting. It is on this date at this time.
I'm going to say this. It's probably at the end, but If you didn't watch this show, you missed the gem. You need to. You got to go back and watch this show. But
rewind.
Oh my gosh! I mean, bombs just exploding all over the place. But I'm gonna jump to the next one real quick. So
go ahead.
So you did some cold calling to venues for a couple. This is the main reason why I reached out to Wendy, because, but it's not in a bad way. This is a good thing. Looking to book their wedding. What were some of the results? I mean, I know you said you called what? How many did you call?
So I pulled up my notes so I could remember and tell you the right numbers. So okay. I called 36 venues. And by calling, what I mean is I actually went through the forms on their website, because I want to respect other people's systems, right? So I'm going to go through your contact form. If I personally have a relationship with you, I might email you. But majority of the time, I'm going to go through the contact form so you've got this lead in your database. 14 never responded after 2 weeks.
So that's 22 that possibly responded.
14. 12 of the venues that responded had dates of the dates that were available, but they didn't answer the question as to give us pricing. No range, no minimums, no nothing. Just, hey, yeah, we're available. Want to come tour? Great. I'm the planner. I don't need to come tour. Yes, my couple needs to come tour with you, but I just reached out to 36 people. I'm not going to tour the couple with 36 venues. I need a way to narrow it down. And so the way to narrow down a venue is going to be what it looks like, what you offer, and what you cost.
What
this is what I do for my couples.
Okay. So
when they hire me to find a venue, it's my job to come up with a list of acceptable possibilities. And on routine, I reach out to 30 to 40 venues.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. This is why we have so many emails, y'all.
So when they come to you, do some of them already have a list or have something in mind? Or do you base it on budget? Or how do you...
If I'm searching for a venue, it comes down to, so the first thing I'll do is I'll have a budget conversation with the client to find out what they're willing to spend overall, not just on the venue, because clients don't understand how budgets work. And they'll say, oh, I'm going to spend $20,000 on my venue and only $5,000 on everything else. Well, we know that's not going to work. So, no. You know, we educate them on what things cost. We ask them for samples of what they've seen out there that they liked. And yes, they've usually looked around and they'll send us the social media because they're searching on social media, right? They've tapped in hashtag Dallas Wedding Venue and that's what they're looking at. And so they'll tell us which ones they liked online. If somebody has already gone to tour a venue, they will tell us that they toured it and whether they like the person or not that toured them on the venue. Because that's one of the number one reasons they're going to hire a place is whether they like that person or not. I hate to tell them, half the time that person's not going to work there anymore by the time their wedding rolls around, but that's one of the reasons I got.
What are you saying? So, like, don't last 6 months or a year?
It depends upon the type of venue. If it's an owner-based venue, then yeah, they're still going to be there. But if it's somebody in the hotel industry, we all know that the hotel people switch hotels.
Yeah,
usually every 2 to 3 years.
Somebody, they're gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's part of this reason why people didn't get back to me is hotels are horrendous at updating that contact form and getting it to the right person. Yeah. So a lot of times it takes me 3 weeks just to find out who I should be talking to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure you probably thought Jeffrey's trying to get me to be bad on here. But no, I just thought that was amazing where you called 36 people and half of them didn't even respond. That was crazy to me.
I mean, if you guys listen to anybody who does research on our industry, that's not abnormal.
No, because we get a lot of phone calls, like a Chick-fil-A call one time, and it didn't say Chick-fil-A. It was just a lady that was representing Chick-fil-A. And, you know, she said, I've called 4 or 5 DJs. You're the first person to pick up the phone.
Yeah, most people don't pick up the phone nowadays, not unless you're my generation or older. Gen X, we'll talk on the phone. Anybody younger than us, they don't like to talk on the phone, so they won't answer.
Yeah, but as an industry person, you got to answer your phone.
They don't. That
but they don't care. It's
no, all I'm not talking about calling them. I'm talking about them calling us.
I know what you're saying, but it's still the truth. How many websites have you seen that actually had phone numbers on them?
Wow, I'm going to research that. So
because if they're working part-time, they can't take phone calls.
Another night.
They're at work.
Well, I did, but I probably shouldn't have. But So have you done that same research or do you do the same research on any other parts of the industry?
All of them. Now, wow. I don't typically do 30 to 40 DJs. I'm going to reach out to like six. Okay. The venue is the only one that I'm going to reach out to that many. Catering, I might reach out to 10. Photographers, I'm usually reaching out to four. Well, I'm usually reaching out to 10, and then I narrow it down. From there, I narrow it down to who's available, who's within budget, whose style, whose personality. All of those factors come into play as to who I then recommend to the client. And then when I'm sending the client, and where it's going to roll right back to what we talked about earlier, website and social media. And if you look like you're from the 80s, I look like an idiot, so I can't send your stuff.
Wow.
Okay. So Seth says 75% of the people who reach out to me do it through social media or email doing work. Al, it's 25% of people never talk with me until after I've already written a contract.
Jeff, I want your website and I want your social media. That's amazing, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good work. Kudos to having a website that works for you.
Yeah, and that was something that a guy said on one of our shows a couple of years ago. He said by the time people look at your website, they should be ready to book. Or they shouldn't have any questions, you know, maybe money questions or whatever, however you have your website set up. But he said they should already be sold on you after they leave your website. And I think a lot of people don't care about their websites as much as they used to. It's more about what my brand is on social media, you know, how I hype my body. Yeah, so...
But it all runs together, and what you end up doing is you end up putting yourself in a box. You know,
you have
all these different people that go. Some people, they're going to look at everything. Some people only look at this. Some people only look at that. But if you're trying to have
it all needs to be cohesive.
It has to all be consistent.
Yeah,
that's very important. I mean, very important. Chris said, I always do a site visit before going to event space. I find it strange when DJs do this.
I think he meant when DJs don't do this.
Yeah, don't do this.
Okay.
Yeah. Good, Chris. Love that.
Yeah, and it is strange.
But it's tough here because Texas is so.
But here's the thing. If it's not your full-time gig, you don't have the time, right?
Yeah, and
you're not available during the hours that you need to be able to go when there's not an event happening. So I get why somebody who's doing this on the side and they're building it, you know, when you're first building your business, we all started part time, right? So yeah. I respect people who don't have the time because they're working a full time gig. Please understand, I am not saying people who are part time aren't professional. That is not what I'm saying. Part time people can be as professional as full time people. It's your attitude that defines it. But, you know, that's the thing. Is absolutely, should they? That would be great. And they're going to look better for it. But can they? You know, it's like you said earlier, DJ Day. Like, everybody's got their thing. There's a reason why they're doing it.
Oh, yes. Okay, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to change her name to Wendy Real Kid.
Yes. The real one.
Yes. Oh, my God. I mean, if we had guests like this every week who just kept it real, I mean, not sugarcoated, not trying to be politically correct. I mean, you were correct, but you kept it really, really real. But go ahead, Mike. This is your favorite question anyway.
Well, I'm just happy that you're happy. So moving right along.
Wow. Total host happy. Okay. That's good. All right.
So what is a gem or something you live by that you can share with our audience?
Oh, I am a priorities girl. You got to know what your life is meant to be about. You got to know what you want out of life. And you need to run your life according to that priority. You know, I'm a workaholic. I love work. This is one of my priorities. And fortunately, I found a mate in life that's his priority too. So we work a lot. You know, I'm still at my office doing this with you guys. But you've got to live your life according to your priorities. And that means your day-to-day schedule too. If my priority was having dinner with my husband every night, I would not be here doing this podcast, right? You've got to be able to say no, and you've got to be able to say yes based on what your priorities are, what's important to you. And I'm loving the title. Thank you.
No, we just appreciate people who come on here, be open, honest, and just really have a good conversation and just keep it real. And don't be like, oh, I'm going to dance around that. No, I'm not going to say. No, just have a real a candid, honest conversation. And I truly appreciate that. And very rarely do we get that. Most people, I just want to be politically correct because I don't want it to come back and bite me, you know, somewhere down the road. No, that's not going to make the industry better. That's going to keep the same BS that's flying around now. Like DJs getting an assignment the week before, coming out there messing up somebody's web. That's the same mess that's going to keep going on if we don't say anything and do something about it. And y'all have a license. Why we don't have some kind of certification as DJs that
we don't have a license.
Well, I mean, y'all have a certification. Y'all can get certified.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Not a license, but you can get certified. There needs to be something that says, okay, this person can really legally.
Peter Mary had a program for DJs. I don't even know where he is or what happened to that, but that was pre-COVID.
A lot of people have them, but so many people fight it. They don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's not enough people that buy into it to make it, you know, significant enough that it becomes
necessary.
Necessary.
Yeah, like
as Jeff said, it's not enough of it. You know, you have more people that are protecting, you know, a wrong than speaking out against it.
You know, here's the thing. I certification gets me nowhere with clients. They don't care if I'm certified or not. It's about my reputation with the industry. And honestly, those education courses got me more through networking than just the education. I look at certification as, again, I believe if I'm not learning, I'm not growing. I think other people should be the same way. If you're not learning, you're not growing. I think people should invest in education just for educating themselves and doing better in life. I don't think you should do it just to get the certificate. But I will say also that the certification program that I went through for my certified master wedding planner, that is a certification program that people in the area know and respect. And they know that when they're working with somebody who came through that certification, they know how they work. So, you know, I think there's absolute value in them. I think it's hard to find the right one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Chris. I agree. Thanks, Chris. Don't work too hard up here in Boston.
Yeah, Boston.
Well, man, we're going to be respectful so you can go have a hot plate with your husband or whatever, and so he won't be too mad with us two DJs holding you up all night on the mic. Yes.
Tell him we change your name.
I will. He will appreciate that.
Real. The kid. The kid keeps it real.
No, it's rare you get somebody.
Oh, yes.
Jody Jr. Maybe that's what we should have called it.
It's Wendy. She's her own. Yeah. Yes. But do one more thing for us. Tell everyone where they can find you, your social media handle, your website, and all of that good stuff.
Absolutely. My company's Each and Every Detail, so you can find me at eachandeverydetail.com. The same tagline for Instagram, Facebook, it's all Each and Every Detail.
Each and Every Detail. Yes, you hit Each and Every Detail.
I love that.
You did. You hit.
I love that.
Yeah, this was a pleasure. I'm so glad you didn't be like, Jeffrey's going to get me on here and try to do something crazy, because I think you're like, where are we going with this? I know you were a little hesitant at first.
Jeffrey, I'm a planner. I want to plan.
I know, man. You told me that. But I still think you like, I think he's trying to set me up for the okey-doke. But I was like, no, it's just, and I'm so glad you came on the show, because I really enjoyed getting to know you and meeting you. And hopefully we can work together in the future and do some things.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed it, guys. And the questions were amazing. It was a great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Seth, for helping us out, Seth.
Yes, Seth. Thanks. Great.
They had some great questions.
Yes, yes.
But no, it's been an honor, and we look forward to, I look forward to meeting you in person, and we just look forward to you continuing to be as successful as you can be. And I hope that we get more up and coming planners that think along the lines that you do, because I think it'll make it better for all of us. And we appreciate you, and we thank you. And thank you for putting our sponsors up again. And before we leave, we want to remind you guys that the Marquee Show is coming up
June 24th through 27th. If you haven't got your tickets, please go to our website, 2DJs and 1 Mic, and you can get your tickets through the website as well and use our code. But make sure that you get your tickets. You need to be there. It's very important.
Absolutely.
Because as Wendy said, you got to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Education. You have to continue to educate yourself. If you're not growing, I'm going to say it, you're dying.
Yeah. Or you're getting ran over.
Going backwards.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to go backwards.
Yeah. Take us home, Mike. Yes. Take us home.
All right. Thank you again. Jeff is all bubbly.